Part 2 of Lecture 180, Spiritual Meaning of Relationship. I want to check in again and find out if there are any questions or areas that you'd like to go into on this lecture. Okay, then what I want to do with the next segment of time is to go into the idea of blame. I have mentioned before that there's a quality of the lectures as in life itself. The lectures are simply a reflection of life. They're nothing special in the sense that they don't... Let me start that one over. The biggest compliment someone can give the lectures is to say, I knew that. Okay? What the lectures seem to be able to do for a great number of people is they codify, they name, they phrase things that have been difficult for us to enunciate or name. Okay? The reality was out there. We knew the feeling. We knew we had a sense that something wasn't right. And then we read in various kinds of literature, whether it is Buddhism or a religion of any kind, or philosophy, or art, or literature, or in the lectures, we read a phrase and say, wow, that's it. That's what I was feeling. And I like to think of the lectures as being valuable if this is your style. So if you like to think in these terms and the way the Pathwork lectures express things to you, and you like the way it expresses things, and you can use these and go out, then this is a useful spiritual practice for you. It is not the only spiritual practice. And if you go on the internet, and I'm sure that you guys have all seen this famously, no matter what topic or phrase, no matter how narrowly you try to phrase a topic or phrase, you get 10 million results nowadays. There are many, many different ways of looking at things. There are many different ways of phrasing relationship issues. So the guide has specific concepts that we codify that I try to teach from, and one of them is the idea of unity and duality, of unitive thinking versus dualistic thinking. In unitive thinking, the key word is and. So you have a point of view, and I have a point of view. You have needs, and I have needs. In dualistic thinking, we see things in terms of or. You get some time, or I get some time. You're right, or I'm right. And one of the paradigm shifts that the lectures has given me over the years is the ability to practice, and I'm not perfect at it, I do it every single day, the ability to practice seeing the unitive perspective. Now, that does not mean that I do not act when I see things. Sometimes things are simply wrong or out of balance or need to be corrected. It's not that we have to accept everything that comes along. The spiritual practice is to see underlying causes, to see the unitive part even in disagreement. So when the guide talks about blame in this last part of this lecture, okay, he says, no matter what wrong the other person does, if you are disturbed, there must be something in you that you overlook. No matter what wrong the other person does, if you are disturbed, there must be something in you that you overlook. What I'm attempting to bring here is this. It is not that it's all your fault or all their fault, but in a unitive sense, if someone does something, even if it's wrong, and you are disturbed, rather than simply saying, that's incorrect, that's wrong, that is inappropriate, and taking steps to try to redress it. If you are disturbed, by disturbed the guide is talking about, he says, when I say disturbed, I mean this in a particular sense. I do not speak of clear-cut anger. that expresses itself guiltlessly and which does not leave a trace of inner confusion and pain. Let me read this again. When I say disturbed, I mean this in a particular sense. I do not speak of clear-cut anger that expresses itself guiltlessly and which does not leave a trace of inner confusion and pain. I mean the kind of disturbance that comes out of and breeds further conflict. So if something happens in a relationship with another person that leaves you disturbed, the invitation from the unit is for you to look inside. Not that the other person isn't wrong, they may well be wrong, but they have resonated against something in you that isn't clean. So the guide is inviting that there may be an excuse or a reason for clear-cut anger, saying, stop that, don't do that, I do not accept that, or I'm leaving the room. But if you leave the room and you go into agony, you start to cry and you become distressed and upset, then you're not done. That person's action has triggered something in you. And our job, and I say our because the people that I am speaking to are the people who are attempting to learn this work, not the people who are saying it doesn't matter or I have better things to do. So people who are listening to this teleconference are the people who are asking the question, why? Why am I disturbed? Why do I feel pain? Why can't I clear this up? And the guide's invitation is that if we take self-responsibility for there being something off in us, and we do the work of self-analysis without blaming the other person. They may be wrong in their action, but their action is not responsible for our confusion, our pain, or our distress. We are responsible for that. And that by finding the place in us, whatever that is about, and clearing it up, then we are even more able to go back to the other and say, I need a solution to this. I cannot deal with this. This disturbs me. I just jumped into a pothole right there. Disturbs me. This is something that I need to clear up. And perhaps you can say, it does disturb me, and I'm working on that, and I still need some change of action or change of intent, or something needs to change here so that I do not become disturbed, so that I can work on my own self and find out what's going on with me. And the trigger is very intense here, and I would like to address it. That's different from saying, you made me angry. You made me cry. You don't care about me. Well, that may be true. They may not care about you. And the question from a self-responsible place that we need to ask is, what are we doing in relationship with someone who doesn't care about us? Once you answer that question and come to peace with it, I'm in relationship with this person because they have 15,000 sterling qualities, but they don't care about me as much as I want to be cared about. That one they don't give me. They give me a lot of others. Once you clarify that for yourself and you understand why you're in relationship with someone who has a blind spot in a particular area, then you may be more able to deal with that blind spot, to deal with the fact that you are vulnerable in a place of wanting to be cared about in a particular way, and your beloved does not give that to you. Therefore, you need to get it from other sources, primarily internally, and to communicate to your beloved that that's a sore spot. I call those bruises. There are places where we are emotionally bruised, and I think it's fair game when you're in relationship with someone to tell someone, that's an area of emotional bruising for me. That hurts. I'm not able to handle that very well. So if you go there, you need to go there carefully. I'm not saying that we can't talk about it, but I need a little bit of containment. I don't want it to be casual, on the fly, a conversation in the car. I need for it to be a sit-down discussion. I need to be calm and relaxed and opened the discussion, or I will go into defense because I'm bruised there. That's the kind of self-responsibility the lecture's talking about. Rather than say, you're insensitive, you don't listen, you don't understand me, all of which may be true, we are still responsible for how we have engaged with that person, or what we have not communicated to that person, and on a longer-term basis, which is very painful for some people to admit, sometimes we have ignored something and allowed it to become part of the fabric of a relationship, and then we become sensitized to it. And part of growing up spiritually is to take responsibility for the fact that we let that happen. Now, I'm going to use a silly example because silly works. Let's say that we went into a relationship with someone, and because of the way we were raised and the way they were raised, we just fell into the habit of always doing the dishes. And that goes on for 5 or 10 years, and it seems to work, and we're happy, and then things change. And all of a sudden, one day, we stand up and say, why am I doing the dishes all the time? And by the way, of course, I'm speaking from a female perspective. Males have different perspective, and they're just as valid, but they didn't come to me quite that automatically. Why am I doing the dishes all the time? As a matter of fact, I'm doing all the housekeeping, and I'm doing the decluttering, and there's a list of things that I'm doing, and I didn't realize it. In that moment of awareness, which is terribly important and powerful, we cannot expect the other person to have the exact same moment of equal awareness and equal desire to take responsibility and equal willingness to change the way that they've been living. When we have a moment of that, of awareness of that type, loving behavior is to begin the process of communication. Hey, honey, I just got a realization. You're not going to like this. But I've been doing something for 10 years, and I may be in the process of changing that behavior. And I need you to step up to the plate and start doing X, Y, or Z, with the understanding that this may be news to the other person, that they may have been very content with the arrangement. Now, if you can see in this example, this is not about negativity per se. You give somebody a deal that works for them, and they accept the deal, and they go on, and they don't review it constantly. And then one day you pop your head up and say, I no longer like the deal, and I want to rewrite it. But in a relationship, this is something you both do. So your moment of awareness is a wonderful thing, and it's the beginning of the work. So I teach very often, I mention very often, Lecture 127, which is the 4 stages of evolution. And I love it because it's so clean and so simple. So stage 1 is automatic reflex, where you're doing something and you don't realize it. So as a female, you may take on certain kinds of responsibilities. As a male, you may take on taking care of the car or chopping the firewood or a number of things that, from a social perspective and how you grew up, it's easy for you to do. You've learned to enjoy it, and it's part of your persona and part of your interest. In automatic reflex, we do this without thinking. Then comes the moment of awareness, stage 2. In awareness, we may realize that while we were trained to do this, and we can do it well and efficiently, and it hasn't bothered us in the past, we are now not completely happy with how we have subdivided the chores or led our life. This can be as simple as a chore, but it can also be a matter of wanting to change professions. And the changing of professions is going to tear up our lifestyle. It's going to change our income level. It's going to change, could change where we live, our commuting schedule, child care. It can change our entire lives, change our job, much less a simple chore. So stage 1 is automatic reflex, stage 2 is awareness, and stage 3 is understanding. And in relationship, it is important that we take responsibility to move from awareness into attempting to understand what is that about. does that have anything to do with the other person, or is that a personal revelation for me? It's possible that it's an imbalance that occurred during the relationship, and I was the first one to see it. Since I was the first one to see it, I am more spiritually aware of this particular issue. It is my job, it is my responsibility to bring it to the attention of the other and to see if perhaps we could renegotiate this or come to a new understanding. And stage four is knowing. And the knowing is would be exemplified in this way. I became aware that I didn't want to do something, and I also was aware that I have not said anything for 10 years. So habits have been developed that are going to be hard to shift. I have come to an understanding of myself, and I've tried to come to an understanding of the other to find what is possible here. And in the knowing, I am going to address things. I am going to accept who I am. I am going to accept who they are. I'm going to accept that there is not a perfect answer, and to work towards something that brings more pleasure to me while not bringing displeasure to my partner. So I know that that's a lot here, but in the topic of blame, as subtle as it may be, when we make the other person guilty, when we make them wrong on any level whatsoever, what the guide says is the game of making others guilty is so overall that it constantly passes by unnoticed. It is so taken for granted. So here is the invitation in this lecture. The invitation is to accept pain, discomfort, raging emotions, disturbing emotions, glitches, let's call them glitches, where you go, ow, what was that? To take these this awareness and to look more deeply into what's going on, to see what the other person may have contributed to it, whether they are a neighbor or a boss or a partner or a child, and then to look inside at ourselves and see what part we may have in this process, and to see what we can do to bring these into consciousness, both for ourselves and for the person we love, to give them a chance to see how we feel about something without making them wrong or guilty, even if we see that there's distortion on their side. If that other person loves you, if there is true love here, then would they not be willing to hear you out and not be willing to consider an accommodation for your feelings? That doesn't mean they capitulate. That doesn't mean they agree with you completely. But they agree to an accommodation, to something that truly disturbs you, rather than being a superficial solution to a deeper issue. And that's where relationships sometimes get into trouble. So the joke is, in couples counseling, that the sparks fly over the toothpaste, somebody leaving the cap off the toothpaste, or scrunching up the toothpaste in the wrong way. That is a symptom. That is an effect. The cause of the irritation goes much deeper, and it may not be easy to name. And so the last straw gets identified as the cause of the problem. And this road will lead to a dead end, because the person who learns to put the cap back on the toothpaste or roll it in a different way has not been given the information they need to address the other things that led up to that particular last straw. When you get irritated by someone and you look inside, you are going to be the best person in the world to figure out what actually bothers you. And if you are in a relationship with a person who is your equal on any level, you also have the possibility to ask them, what do you think? I'm really irritated by the toothpaste. Why do you think so? And it can be surprising sometimes that the other person may have figured this out for a long time and actually have a lot of information to share with you about how you have become perfectionistic, where you have started addressing tiny issues to unirritate yourself. Couldn't find the right word. Where they have noticed that you're being very picky and very perfectionistic and very detailed, but that they suspect that there's a larger irritation there that you may not be aware of. That in relationships, not only will that person trigger you, but they will also have the potential to have seen deeply into you and to know more about you than you may be aware of and to be able to offer it to you. And if you can keep in mind, not thinking dualistically, when you say, I don't like this about you, and they say, well, I don't like this about you, once again, that may not be an enlightened answer to your issue. But what if you take that in? What if you say, isn't that interesting? I irritate them, they irritate me. I wonder what's going on here. What might be the central core of this irritation that these details simply manifest, that they are only symbols of? That when we have discussions over that topic, the details tend to melt away. They really aren't important. No one really cares about the toothpaste. So that's a bit more fleshing out of the section of this lecture on blame. And the last section, I'm going to read a couple of quotes. It says, the only way you can avoid becoming a victim to blame and self-projection is that you avoid doing it yourself. Now, this reflects back to the lecture on Lecture 201, which is Demagnetizing Negative Force Fields. So, as I've said before, all lectures kind of relate to each other. Pointing a finger at someone is going to generate pointing fingers at you, unless the other person is more enlightened than you are and a little bit more restrained. Okay? But if you avoid blame and self-projection onto the other, then you allow a space for them to hear your complaints and to offer why they may have taken such action. But to finger point and blame and project onto the other is going to generally produce the same response to you. And so you're both going to be spitting about the toothpaste, cap on the toothpaste, instead of talking about the deeper tension in the relationship. And the guide has this wonderful description that I want to close with that says, loving, sharing, and profound and satisfying closeness to others to be a purely positive power without any threat when these snares are looked at, discovered, and dissolved. Loving, sharing, and profound and satisfying closeness to others could be a purely positive power without any threat when these snares are looked at, discovered, and dissolved. And a little bit before that, what the guide says, the mere awareness will make all the difference. And that is, to some extent, my purpose in these presentations, to offer different flavors and opportunities for people to become aware of where they may contribute to issues, where they may be in distortion, and to allow the work of self-analysis to begin or to go deeper. So are there any questions at this point? Because I think I'm done. Okay. Well, I appreciate all of you being there and listening. And I have enjoyed speaking about the lectures with you. So good morning and good evening to all of you.
Good evening. Very interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye.